This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Carol Platt-Liebau, longtime political analyst and strategist, now based in California. With the economic stimulus package approved in its final form by both the House and Senate late last week, and President Obama set to sign it in Denver on Tuesday, we want to get her impressions on who scored political points and who was politically damaged as a result of this fierce and very public debate. And Carol, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, great to be with you, Greg.
Well, President Obama got what he wanted. Granted, he pretty much had the votes within his own party to do it. He only needed a couple of Republican senators to help out. This is obviously a huge piece of legislation. Whether or not it'll actually stimulate the economy is something we'll have to wait and see. But is he a political winner, a big time, as a result of this, or is it just a matter of having more votes?
Well, you know, Greg, he is a political winner in the short term because he got this piece of legislation passed. What it means long term is a very different question because, as you've just said, and as most economists agree, no one knows, number one, whether it will create jobs, and two, a number of people have a lot of reasons to believe that, like a lot of the spending that went on during the tenure of Jimmy Carter, it may just end up creating stagflation, where you have stagnant growth and rampant inflation without doing anything to solve any of the problems that it was ostensibly designed to address. Statistics show that some minuscule portion, something like 7%, is actually going for infrastructure, and the rest is pretty much a giveaway to a series of Democrat interest groups. Depending on what happens, now it is fully and completely in President Obama and the Democrats' court. And if the economy improves, they'll be able to take credit. But if, giving a bunch of money away, for example, billions to neighborhood stabilization activities like the kind run by Acorn, if that doesn't serve to jumpstart the economy, well, it's going to be pretty clear who's to blame.
It was interesting how Republicans, while clearly fed up and frustrated by this legislation, really didn't take too many shots at Obama himself. They said that he reached out in a bipartisan spirit, at least listened to their ideas, even if he wasn't ready to implement many or if any of them. But they said it was really the frustration caused by the likes of Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. So do they come away from this with a different perception among the public than does the president?
You know, it's interesting, Greg, because Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are serving invaluably both to the Republicans and to President Obama. They allow the Republicans to put an awful-looking face on the Democrat Party without having to go after a president who still enjoys relatively high public approval ratings. On the other hand, it lets President Obama get a very left-wing liberal agenda enacted, one with which my guess is he probably personally agrees, while still being able to some extent, triangulate as the nice guy who would have worked with Republicans, but just, gosh darn those darn congressional Democrats.
As far as the congressional Republicans, as you mentioned, Carol, both times the bill went before the House, not a single Republican voting in favor of it, only three moderate senators crossing over in the Senate to make the bill pass a potential filibuster threat there. We've kind of talked about the merits of the bill to some extent, but politically speaking, do the Republicans look more principled or more as getting in the way here?
They have done a very good job of defining what the debate is about. And contrary to the very unfair and really distorted, surprisingly so, characterization that President Obama made of his opposition in his press conference last week, in fact, Republicans have said repeatedly they, too, believe that something needs to be done to address the current economic situation. However, they don't believe that simply throwing truckloads of money at every Democrat interest group and, for example, doing things like trying to sod the National Mall and buying hybrid cars for government workers and all that sort of thing is the way to really get the country moving again. What we need to be doing is encouraging entrepreneurship, encouraging investment, encouraging commerce, encouraging hiring by cutting tax rates and maybe even temporarily the payroll tax so that it's easier for private employers to hire people rather than trying to run everything through the federal government, which, as we know, is relatively incompetent when it comes to administering all these big programs they try and set up.
Carol, there are more than a few Republicans on Capitol Hill who will freely admit that they were not fiscally disciplined when Republicans controlled everything in this town. And as a result, that wasteful spending and lack of discipline caught up with them in 2006 and again in 2008. Now they say they've learned their lesson. What are the American people looking for to determine whether or not they've really learned their lesson, or they are just upset that they're back in the minority?
Well, the only way we're really going to know is when the Republicans regain majority status, which, frankly, if this huge $787 billion stimulus doesn't do something relatively quickly, is going to be sooner rather than later. My view is that they have learned a very important lesson, and that is that when you go to Washington, if you become a creature of Washington, Democrats light, you spend and spend the way Democrats do, then there's no reason for people not to elect the real thing. Let's just elect the real big government spenders, and those are the Democrats rather than some sort of light version in the Republican Party.
Last 30 seconds, Carol, and a little bit of a shift. There are some who say that if spending in Washington doesn't find some sort of control, it's going to look like your new home state of California. Explain for our listeners just how much financial peril is happening out there.
Well, California is bankrupt. And what it has done is essentially created a test case, because what has happened in California with out-of-control entitlement spending, new programs, tax hikes on productive citizens, what it has done is run the state into bankruptcy, made it incredibly unfriendly to businesses and to productive working people, and driven business out of the state. And what's remarkable is that, looking at what California has done, now you have the Democrats in Washington trying to do the same thing on a national model.
Carol, it's going to be interesting to see, as you say, exactly how this plays out and where the political chips fall as a result. Thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Greg. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Carol Liebau, longtime political analyst and strategist, now based in California. This is Dateline Washington.